Coming to you on some serious tape delay via a podcast near you. From that hockey hotbed of San Jose, California, it's Dudes on Hockey.
He is now accepting callers. He is calling me Dude.
And now, your hosts, Mike and Doug.
Hey there, welcome to the Dudes on Hockey podcast. I'm Mike, that's Doug.
So for those of you who aren't here in the Dudes on Hockey studio, which is none of you because we record in private.
I'm here.
And well, I mean, of course, it's the two of us, dude, but people wouldn't know that this is actually our third attempt at starting the show today.
Right.
And sometimes that happens. We've been known to re-record an entire episode.
It has happened.
But this time we flubbed two openings, mostly because I was being inappropriate. So now here we are. Appropriate.
Now we're appropriate.
For opening number three, really should have a blooper reel.
Yeah, which would be, not safe for work. NSFW.
No. It would be bad times, dude, but good times for the Sharks. Everybody was Eeyore-ing it up last week,
yeah,
including ourselves, and look at us now.
Right.
On the road trip, we thought maybe what they needed was to get out and have a little team bonding session on the road, and they've bonded their way to a 3-game win streak, dude, with some impressive wins over the Stanley Cup champions and a pain-in-the-butt team like Nashville,
mm-hmm,
and they watched the Devils unravel in front of their eyes on a Ryan Klo surprise, mm-hmm, shootout move.
About that? Who would have thunk it? Went the backhand.
3 in a row, dude. How you feeling in this moment?
I'm feeling better. Let's put it that way. The one thing I'm trying to figure out is, you know, we were not exactly thrilled last week this time with the Sharks' recent performance. And so I'm trying to put my finger on what's different. Is it the road trip, like you said, or is it something else? What do you think? You think it's just the road trip and this whole bonding thing and the team chemistry can come together, blah, blah, blah? Or is there something else going on? Did the Sharks make a structural change? Did they make a tactical change on the ice? What have they done to suddenly turn around from where they're losing to St. Louis to winning in Boston?
Well, I mean, they're executing better, I think. The penalty kill is better. Mm-hmm. I mean, on this road trip, I think we ran the numbers before we started. What's the kill?
8 for 10.
8 for 10. You know, so they're...
That's not that great, but it's a little bit better.
I think it's probably better than what they were doing.
Yeah.
So that puts them at 80%. I'm not sure where that puts them in terms of the entire league. You know, I'll take a look at that right now as we're talking. But they seem to be rallying, you know,
right,
and not being the team making the death mistakes.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the fact that Damaris hasn't played in two of these games and he seemed to be in the middle of some of those blunders. Is he the new Ken Huskins, dude?
I hope not.
I hope not, too. And I don't think that he is. I wouldn't put him in that category. But the Sharks PK right now is at a season of 76%.
Yeah.
Which puts them at 25th. In the entire NHL, which is terrible. But if they were at 80%, you know, which is they are, you know, on the road trip, they would be at 20th. So
it's
a slight improvement. If you're talking about a good PK, we're going to see one over the weekend when they go to the New York Islanders. That they're clipping along at a 92% on the PK. So, slight improvement there, I guess. Just clutch goal scoring, you know, Joe Pavelski coming up huge, Logan Couture with a huge shorthanded goal.
Right.
You know, making big plays in big games, refusing to quit when New Jersey went back ahead, dude. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that you want to see, the mental toughness from a team. And I think they've shown that on this trip.
Right. I think I'd say three things maybe that have helped this team win the last three games. One is the road trip fact. I think that does help to a certain extent. There are certain distractions when you're on the road, but there's certain lack of distractions as well. You're not able to lounge around at home and play Xbox. You're on the road. Sort of everything you're doing is for the team towards the next game. The second thing, I think Marty Havlat's been a big part.
Yeah, 3 points in 3 games,
yeah,
right?
That's a major change that I think the Sharks are finally, hopefully, you know, he's coming out, he's ready to play, he's getting into the shape, and you know, he made an excellent feed to Couture on that one goal, mm-hmm. which was just awesome. So I think that's the third thing. And the third thing would be what you basically said is the lack of Demers and Colin White might be the third thing that I would say might be helping this team win games. You're right. I mean, terrible giveaways in the zone. Maybe they didn't all lead to goals, but that's not a good thing. And Vandermeer has been just fine. And Justin Braun has been just fine. So maybe just fine is an improvement over what we were seeing with those guys before. Certainly, we're going to be seeing them again at some point. I don't think that, you know, they're going to be riding the pine forever.
No, I'm not at all. And I think this kind of gets into the first topic is, you know, Demers and White sitting, Vandermeer and Braun playing. You know, do you think that this is going to be a ride the hot hand situation here? Or are one or two of these guys in danger of losing a roster spot permanently if things go the way they're going?
I think White more so than Demers. I think, Demers certainly has some traction with this team. Being with the team the past few years, I think he's more of a known quantity to the coaching staff and management. So I still think it's sort of his job to lose, and maybe they're just trying to send a message, you know, get back on track or guess what's going to happen. Whereas Justin Braun's one of those guys, and we've talked about it before, where he's a young player and you want him playing a lot. And so seeing Justin Braun in the press box for an extended period of time doesn't seem very likely to me. Most likely they just send him back down, and then that would, you know, tip the scales even more so to Demers, because they'd have to, you know, bring Justin Braun back, fly him wherever they are and all this kind of stuff. There's a certain amount of, obstacle they would need to overcome in order to get Justin Braun in and out of the lineup, because keeping him around and not playing him, I don't think is something the Sharks want to do.
No, I mean, Braun will go back to Worcester if they're not going to play him.
Right.
And he's not going to sit around.
Whereas Colin White, he's making the same money as Vandermeer. If they're going to run seven defensemen, it's not going to cost him any more to sit Colin White than it is to sit Jim Vandermeer. So they're a wash in terms of money. And if Jim Vandermeer is playing better, then it's going to be Jim Vandermeer in the lineup.
Right. It's but Jim Vandermeer doesn't exactly have the best career track record. You know, he's not a bad player, but if you're looking at his career numbers, I mean, he's 439 NHL games minus 10. I mean, he's not, you know, we're not talking about Shea Weber out there. I mean, Jim Vandermeer is going to make a mistake, and then he's going to have a bad game, and then you're going to see Colin White again, you know?
I know, but, you know, I look at Jim Vandermeer's career, and I look at the last few seasons and specifically his track record, and it's not like Colin White has outscored Jim Vandermeer in the last few years. I think Colin White had 18 points in 2008-2009. Jim Vandermeer had 14 points last year, which is more than what Colin White had, only 6 points. You know, the last 4 or 5 years is kind of a wash, and you look at where Colin White has spent his career on the New Jersey Devils, a good defensive team, and Jim Vandermeer was on the Chicago Blackhawks in the 05 to 08 doldrums,
yeah,
where they were terrible.
Those are bad teams, yeah.
And, you know, the Flyers 07-08, you know, they were decent. The Flames haven't been that great. You know, Phoenix 2 years ago and Edmonton last year, none of those teams exactly cup contenders. So I think Jim Vandermeer may be a slight victim of circumstance. And the more I see him play, the more I start to think that maybe him and Colin White are pretty close, a lot closer than we initially thought.
Sure. So that's what whoever is the hot hand in that moment is going to be the guy who's going to play. You know, it wouldn't be surprising to see, you know, both of these guys play, or maybe one of them plays 50 games, the other one plays 30. I mean, you want them both to be ready, mm-hmm. you know, so if someone gets hurt, and someone's going to get hurt at some point, and they'll both be in the lineup, you know, that won't be too shocking. If you see Murray go out, the other one's going to come in and take his spot. You know, you worry about Demers sitting for too long. Mm-hmm. If Braun's playing well and Demers is out, I mean, do you think that they're just going to keep him around just to have depth? Or, you know, they're not going to trade Braun, but is Demers maybe someone you start shopping around to see if you can get that third line player for him?
It's something you have to consider, I think. You know, I know that I think Andy Bench, who writes for Bleacher Report, posed a Jason Demers for Kyle Clutterbuck once, a while back.
I mean, yeah, I think we talked about that and you said no.
I think I said no at the time, but I'm rethinking that at the moment. Yeah.
That's 100% yes.
Yeah.
You would do that, especially given, you know, the current depth. And by all accounts so far, I mean, the Worcester Sharks have started off pretty hot. Mm-hmm. It sounds like someone named Nick Petrecki is playing pretty good down there.
Nice.
And he's playing top pairing minutes. And
He's playing with Akolatsi, who I'm really interested in seeing as well.
Yeah, he seems to be their eighth guy down there. I mean, Akolatsi doesn't seem to quite be getting... I think he's only played maybe once, but they did play together, I think, in his own game.
Maybe that's the one recap I saw.
But he's the one babysitting the rookie, mm-hmm. instead of him being babysat in the past, which is a good step forward to see, because we want to see Nick Petrecki in teal as early as next year. You know what I mean? That should be, we should see him in some sort of cameo this year, you know, mm-hmm. to see what he's got. But it'll be interesting to monitor this situation and mm-hmm. see how the games are split. But right now, you know, you ride the hot hand, you stick with Braun and Vandermeer until something goes wrong. In terms of the third line, dude, you know, we've seen Tommy Wingle's brief audition already end. Mm-hmm. He's been sent back to Worcester, mm-hmm. and Ben Ferriero has taken his place and responded rather well, dude.
He's been pretty effective. I you know, he had that one goal that in Boston, that was the go-ahead goal, so that the game winner. So that's good for him. You know, I still have my reservations about Ben Ferriero. I think he's done better than what I had expected in terms of being able to be effective on that fourth line. He certainly, to me, seemed to be a top six guy in Worcester, a guy you want to be able to score. But somehow he sort of made his way onto a third or fourth line role and managed to still be effective when he's not playing with the most skilled players on his team, which he would be doing on the first line in Worcester.
Right.
So, you know, I'm going to keep an eye on Ferriero, see if he starts to slip or see if he continues to improve. I want to see him improve. I'm still impressed with Jamie McGinn. I like the way Jamie McGinn's playing too.
Now, he's always going to give you the same effort every night, which is 100%.
Yeah.
Makes mistakes, but McGinn is, if he can continue to go that route and kind of become the Sharks Cal Clutterbuck, just mm-hmm. someone who just hits everything and hits the glass even if he misses it. And,
yeah, yeah.
And just makes you aware that he's out there, then he's going to be effective in his fourth line role. Now, I'm not going to back off our, you know, previous statement that this team is still missing one player. And I think that player is going to come at a certain point, but not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Too soon, you're not going to see the Sharks make a move like the Vancouver Canucks did this week.
Right.
A very dramatic move pretty quickly to ship out Mikael Samuelsson, who is a pretty important power play player for them, even though he was hurt for most of the playoffs and they made it to the Stanley Cup. You know, he's a guy who you're counting on for some pretty important minutes there. And Marco Sturm, this is a different subject, you know, in terms of they signed him and then shipped him out after, what, five games?
Mm-hmm.
And in return, you're getting the underwhelming but full of potential David Booth.
Yeah.
How do you feel about this move in terms of the Sharks and Vancouver?
I want to know when David Booth transitions from having potential to being just flat out underwhelming, because it seems like, maybe my memory is bad, but it seems like David Booth has had an awful long time to realize some potential here. And, you know, I'm pulling up his stats right now, but it's how old is he? 84? He's 27 years old?
Yeah, he's
almost 27.
27, dude.
He is, in my opinion, he is past the amount of potential part, because usually I've read some articles about this and seen some stuff. Usually peak years are between 25 and 28 in the NHL, and 28 may be actually a little bit optimistic. It's more like 24 to 27. And David Booth has peaked out at 31 goals in 08-09 and then 23 last year.
So
he's a 40 to 50 point
right,
player.
Right. So I've got one word for you, dude, for David Booth. Setoguchi.
Yeah.
It's the same guy,
is
basically,
same?
Right?
Except he's older, right?
He's older, but, you know, this is the same thing the Sharks were looking at with Setoguchi. You know, he has potential to be a mid-30 goal scorer on a regular basis, and Florida certainly paid him as such. I mean, I think he's making a 4.7 cap hit or something like that, Matt D'Agostini, but I'm not sure. but it's a pretty decent change. And now Vancouver's on the hook for it. So either he's going to blossom there and regain that potential, or that's going to be a huge number they're on the hook for. Him and Keith Ballard can have a cap hit party, you know, and that's going to hurt them long term. Because that's a player, you know, if he has a bad year in Vancouver.
They got the best player in the deal.
Sure.
Without a doubt. And so a lot of people are judging the deal by that. But one thing I was thinking about, some of the stuff we've talked about previously and something I wrote about on the blog, in that Vancouver rewards the Sedins and Alex Burrows with an insane amount of good ice time. They have an insane number of offensive zone starts versus defensive, and they get a ton of power play time. I mean, they're about as protected as you can be. So unless they're going to put David Booth on that line with the Sedins, David Booth is probably going to get harder minutes in Vancouver than he did in Florida. Mm-hmm. So seeing David Booth come out of his shell and turn into a 35-goal scorer with the Canucks, it's like, I just don't see it, man. Alain Vigneault rewards one line with great opportunity to put up points, and that's the Sedins. And David Booth is going to be taking scraps in terms of ice time and situational plays. And I just don't see David Booth like suddenly turning into some amazing player on the Canucks.
I hope you're right. You know, that he continues to struggle and maybe messes with their chemistry a little bit. They've got a little bit of a chemistry issue anyways, now with the Schneider-Luongo debate in full bloom, dude.
Nice.
I've said bloom twice in this podcast. There's been a controversy going on.
Not Jonathan Bloom.
No. We're not talking about Jonathan Bloom yet, but we can transition into the Predators if you'd like.
We could.
You know, the Predators game last night, dude, the Sharks get out to an early lead, 1-0. Mm-hmm. Logan Couture, a little shorty.
Nice.
And then...
And then Nashville played like Nashville.
Right. And Clough ends up taking a penalty after 2-2 takes a run at Couture. He takes a penalty... And they score on that power play. And I think Clough was pretty irritated by that call. Do you agree with the call on Clough?
It's marginal. I don't think the hit was a bad hit. It's marginal. I think Clough would have been smarter if he had sort of come to an agreement with 2-2 to drop before.
2-2's never going to fight Ryan Clough.
Well, then it's Ryan Clough's fault for thinking that he will. You got to be a little bit smarter than that. Not that Nashville's power play is always, you know, awesome, but you don't want to give him too many bullets. So, yeah, I understand Clough being upset, but by the same token, I don't think that's the smartest penalty that you could take.
What you've got to love about what happened is, you know, the arena's going bananas, the Predators fans, all 8,000 of them are up and cheering, and then a minute later, the Sharks, Joe Pavelski, scores, and it's dead silent.
Yeah,
there.
It shuts them all up.
It's cricket town. Yeah. And you got to love that the Sharks did that over and over again so far on this trip. You know, they've responded and they got the win in New Jersey after they were ahead. They came back after Boston tied it.
Yeah, Boston scored 2 goals in a minute to tie the game at 2. They were up 2-0, riding pretty high. And then Boston scores 2 goals in a minute, and you're like, uh-oh. You know, here comes the Stanley Cup champions, and then turns out Sharks managed to grind it out, score another goal, hold on, score an empty netter. So,
in these last two games, you know, the New Jersey game, Niemi was not great, but in the last two games, he's been outstanding, dude. Save percentage of 950 average in those two games against Boston and Nashville, came up huge. 37 saves against the Bruins, especially good in that game, and solid in the shootout against the Devils. How does Hedberg not know, dude, that Clough is going to... everybody's got to know that.
Everybody knows.
It baffles me. I'm so glad that evidently all of the goaltenders in the NHL are naive to the fact that Ryan Clough is going to do that backhand move.
I know.
Every time I knew it was coming, we all knew it was coming.
It's so funny.
It did it anyways.
Everybody knows it's coming. It's so funny. Even the Sharks announcers and Brett Hennigan say, like, everybody in North America knew that was coming or whatever.
But if the one person who didn't know, Hedberg, no clue.
Right. No if clue. I were him, I'd just stand on that post. Just give him half the net.
Dare him to go the other way.
Stand on the post the whole time.
So you've got to enjoy that. 3 good performances so far, dude.
Yeah,
Havlat in the mix. Niemi looking strong in the last two games, looking for the right defensive combinations. Ferriero filling in nicely. Looks like Torrey Mitchell might return. Mm-hmm. You you know, this weekend. Things are looking good in Teal Town, man.
No doubt.
Joe plays his 1,000th game.
Mm-hmm.
Gets his 700th assist.
Right.
Right?
He's making some...
So we're making some history here. What else is there to talk about, Sharks-wise?
I don't know what to tell you, to be honest.
Well, we've got some games coming up here that are pretty big. You know, going to the Island. You know, their special teams are playing pretty well. Even strength, not so much, but... good kill, good power play in the Island. Going to Detroit, seeing our old friend Ian White.
Yep.
You know, that'll be interesting. Detroit's cooled off a little bit.
Just a hair.
Losing two in a row, just getting hammered by the Capitals 7-1, which was pretty funny. Datsyuk off to a little bit of a slow start. Noticed that because he's on our fantasy team.
Mm-hmm.
But the tough one, I think, is going to be going to the Garden next Monday. And the Garden is reopening, I think, tomorrow night, I think, is when the Madison Square Garden is reopening, when the Rangers are going to host the Toronto Maple Leafs. They've done some renovations, dude. Mm-hmm. It almost makes me want to go back and check it out.
Yeah.
What have they done to the Garden?
I have no idea.
Maybe we'll take another tour.
We should.
Yeah, when we go back to New York.
They haven't played a single home game there? Is that...
Nope, they haven't. They've been doing renovations. So the Rangers are going to have
their first home their game?
Their first home game is Thursday against Toronto, and I think that they've got another one before they get us. But
okay.
The Garden will be pretty electric. That is the last game of the road trip. So I'm a little worried about that one, you know, in terms of the Sharks being able to maintain their energy, you know, coming in there after playing Detroit. But be nice for them to be, if they could get home 4-2,
yeah,
then that's good. It'd be nice for them to get a point in Detroit, beat the Isles, and then, you know, I would be able to accept a loss in at the Garden, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, dude, so far so good.
Yeah, so far so good, dude. Let's look around the NHL a little bit. Dallas is still playing really well. Do we know what's up with that? I mean, they're 4-0.
Oh, they're getting great goaltending right now, mm-hmm. you know, from Lettinen, and they're just making it happen. I believe this is how it began last year for them as well. So
right.
I'm not super concerned. You know, they started off really well, and then they went in the toilet. So, you know, Lettinen a 1.54 goals against and a .950 save percentage so far.
That's nuts.
In 7 games. And you're getting decent backup goaltending from Andrew Raycroft too. So we definitely know that's not going to continue. And they're getting well-balanced scoring from Erickson, Ribeiro, Ben, Ott, Sheldon Surrey playing well in his return to the NHL. So I still think Dallas is a mirage, dude. They're just not deep enough without Richards to hold on in the long term. And, you know, the team that you would probably be the most concerned about at 5-2-1 is the LA Kings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's for sure. Although, is Doughty back?
No, not yet, but I think he's close.
Okay.
The Ducks have fallen off a little bit after a hot start, losing 3 in a row. Phoenix is Phoenix. The division is still the Sharks, you know, to take, I think.
Yeah. Well,
now that they've gotten a little bit on a better track, but this road trip is a good reminder. This is a long season, you know.
Yeah, seriously.
And the first 4 games were not good, but these last 3 games have been real good.
Right.
What we expected. So, every team goes through bad stretches. You know, the Red Wings don't all of a sudden suck because they lost 7-1 to the Caps.
Right.
It happens. You know, it happens. And you know, the Sharks are going to look bad again at some point this season, and we're just going to have to ride it out, dude. Dude, you've got some big news.
Yeah.
You know, there's some big podcast news that it's going to be a little bit of an adjustment for our listeners in the coming weeks. Dude, spill it.
Dude, I'm going to be out of town on business. I'm going to India for 3
that's
weeks.
That's not out of town, dude.
Yeah, that's out of town. Am I in town?
No.
Okay, dude, then I'm out of town.
You're not out of town. You're like out of bounds, dude.
Right. I'm way out.
So... what are we going to try and do here?
I think we're going to try and record. India is 12 and a half hours off. It's basically night into day. So we're going to try and record. We're going to see if we can get something to work. Obviously, I'm not bringing the computer that I normally record the podcast on. So we're going to have to see if we can find a time to even record. And then we're going to have to see if that connection's even good enough.
What's the time difference?
12 and a half hours. So, you know, if it's noon, then it's 12:30 a.m. in India.
Okay. You're just going to be sightseeing, right? So you can just stay up.
No, I'm going for work. So I'm working all day. So we'll have to think of something. But we're going to try it. It's possible that we might go dark one or more of the coming 3 weeks. So
right,
we're going to try and make it work. You know, we'll keep you updated on the blog, I mean, or on Twitter or whatever. In terms of if we can't make it work, then we'll have to think of something else. We'll
more. Let's keep it positive. It's going to work.
Oh yeah,
we're going to go international.
Yes.
This is going to be amazing. Dudes on hockey on two continents.
It could, yes.
This is incredible, dude.
Right.
You should bring your hockey gear and just see if anyone wants to play.
Yeah.
See if you can just do a pickup game.
I'd be surprised if there's like a rink in all
in the
India.
Street.
Yeah.
We don't need a puck. Bring that elephant over here.
Right. Exactly. Have him drop the puck.
Where are you going?
I'm going to Hyderabad, which is right in the center of the country. So wow. it's gonna be warm. It's gonna be interesting. And I do have a plan for watching Sharks games, so all will be okay.
Dude, I'm excited for your trip. I'm also nervous for you, but that's a long time. It's not like going for a couple days.
Yeah.
You're going for a few weeks.
And it's a long trip.
Woo!
Too.
How long is the flight?
It's all told. It'll be like 20 hours in the air.
Did you get Game Center yet for the iPad?
Yeah, not for the iPad, but I got Game Center on my computer.
So you'll have internet on the plane. So you can
I won't have internet on the plane.
What?
I don't think so.
There's internet on planes now.
There are some. I don't know if I'm going to have that, but
on a flight to India, they
we'll
bet,
see.
They better. What we'll are you going to? You're going to read?
Yeah. Huh. I'm gonna read. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna think of something. I'm gonna play games on my iPhone. I don't know.
Oh,
I'm gonna pace the aisles of the plane.
Oh man, you'll come up with some sort of code for you know, projecting stats in the 2014 season.
Maybe I'll do that. Yeah, that's a good idea,
dude. Well, I wish you the best and safe travels, dude. And we'll keep things going here on the home front.
Thanks, dude.
And hopefully, we'll be able to make the podcast happen next week. It'll be international.
Yeah.
It'll be thrilling. There'll be a slight hint of curry, spices.
Yeah, it might be a little
bit
more spicy.
The podcast will be extra spicy, dude.
I might be sleep deprived, so I might be a little extra spicy.
Feel the burn.
Yeah. It could happen.
Dude, have a great trip.
Thanks, dude.
Go Sharks.
Go Sharks.
Think the show sucks? Want to get your questions on the air? Email questions at dudesonhockey.com. Dudes on Hockey is not affiliated with the San Jose Sharks organization or the National Hockey League.